Hey, welcome to this week's Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. It's presented, of course, by Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. A little bit of a different format today. We're not at Benchwarmers in Ankeny like we usually are on Thursday evenings. Iowa State, of course, has a basketball game tonight. That will be at Hilton Coliseum. Cincinnati coming to town. Huge game for the Cyclones. So we're all focusing on that. But what we did do earlier this week is we recorded a season review for the Iowa State football team. Cyclones went 3-9 this year. We're going to break down position by position what we saw this year, what we're looking forward to next year, some recruiting needs, and whatnot. Of course, we are presented always by Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive, thanks to Benchwarmers in Ankeny. We'll be back. Well, we will not be back next week because the Cyhawk basketball game is next week, but the Thursday after that we'll likely be back. Maybe we'll take a week off. I don't really know. We'll see. But we'll be at Benchwarmers in Ankeny during the basketball season. I promise you that. Jared Stansberry joins me tonight for the next hour. What's up?
I'm having withdrawals from Buffalo Chicken Pizza from Benchwarmers.
We
weren't there last week either.
I love Benchwarmers pizza. By the time March rolls around, I'm like, okay, I'm good on Buffalo Chicken until September.
Yeah. And then you go 6 months without eating it, and then you eat it for 6 months straight.
Then you're just starving for it.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's good pizza. I found that the Philly steak pizza is my favorite.
Yeah, that one's kind of a new one, isn't it?
I don't know, but we didn't really start hitting that until this year.
It's because they got rid of the Paul Rhodes pizza.
Yeah, which is insane to me. Just because Paul Rhodes got fired, he's still an Ankeny guy.
Yeah.
Come on, Bench.
They should have made it the Joel Lanning pizza.
No, they should have kept the Paul Rhodes pizza. Honor the man.
Oh. Yeah,
whatever. 3-9 this year for Iowa State. I watched the West Virginia game via the television.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of great stuff to take from that game.
No.
They moved the ball.
Yeah.
They just couldn't get in the end zone.
Yeah, I think that was really the biggest difference. You know, the big plays that West Virginia was able to hit on, outside of that, I didn't really think they were able to move the ball that well. You know, like Iowa State was able to move the ball in between the 20s better than West Virginia was, but West Virginia just got some opportunities.
Massive
where,
plays, yeah.
Right, where Iowa State turned the ball over, you know, in West Virginia territory a couple times and just gave them a possession there. I mean, West Virginia hit on a 70-yard touchdown pass. A lot of times when you're getting beat on plays like that, you're not going to win. Like, that's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, no question. What the quarterback deal, let's just start at quarterback as we start to look ahead to next year. I don't think Park playing would have surprised anybody at the beginning of the year. I think the amount of games he started may have been a little higher than I would have anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Let's discuss what happens with Joel Lanning next year.
Yeah.
To me, that's the biggest question. I feel like they want Park to be their guy. But I also know Matt well enough and Tom Manning. They're not just going to throw Joel Lanning to the bench.
Right. And I think that, you know, you kind of want to build to the future a little bit. And I feel like that's what they're maybe doing here later on in the season, getting Jacob Park a little bit more experience because they want him to be the guy, you know. And I think with Lanning, he proved that package that he has is it's going to be successful. But Jeff Woody and I talked about this on Tuesday on CFTV Live. He needs to find out from the coaches, and I think the coaches will be honest. I think these guys aren't guys that are going to BS with you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he needs to find out what they think that his role is going to be moving forward, and then the summer it should be spent for him to, you know, get as good at that role. Whether that means he's going to come in some drives and he's going to throw the football, or whether that means he's going to be predominantly a runner, it'll be interesting to see how he can develop in that role over the next couple months, considering how well he was able to do it just kind of on the fly this year.
That's good. I have a dream of Joel being this like crazy utility guy where he'll line up in the backfield, he'll line up at quarterback, he'll line up at tight end, he'll line up in the slot. You just do all kinds of crazy stuff with him, and you know he can throw, so he's a constant threat.
Well, that's what I kind of was thinking about too. You could almost use him as like a just like a hybrid player.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like a wildcat quarterback, but then sometimes you could put him in a position where he's going to block. I don't know if he's ever really blocked before, but...
You remember the old NCAA football games when you would recruit the guy as an athlete?
Yeah.
That's Joel Anney.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, they still do that. They still
Ed O'Bannon, but...
Yeah, that's true. Well, that was the best part about that game. You could just sign 25 athletes.
Yeah.
Every five-star athlete, you could just sign them all, and then your team would be loaded at every position.
Yeah. You just need a bunch of Joel Annings.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. I'm biased. I love Joel Anning. I love his family. I love Ankeny. I'm biased
because yeah.
I want him to be around. I think it's great having the local kid. But I'm also like, I've heard some stuff and I saw some stuff after the game on Saturday that I thought was unfair to Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, and I got a lot of this surprisingly on Twitter of. First of all, let me point out, I don't know why he didn't play either.
Okay? Yeah.
Like I'm not defending it. Like I
think that after the game, the way Coach Campbell tried to justify it, I don't think that he was able to get his point across very well.
Yeah.
But then when you listen to like Jacob Park talk about it, it makes a little bit more sense because, you know, he says like we didn't have that many situations where we got into third and three, third and two, and you know, situations where Joel had been
correct
excelling. You know, we didn't get inside the 10-yard line very often, yep. except for the one time where they called on the chop block,
yeah.
and he ran for 5 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, and penalties were a problem down in the red zone, too.
Right. They just kept getting themselves too behind the sticks too often. It's
yeah.
just like we saw early in the season.
Correct.
But they were able to move the ball better in the other areas.
Point. Yeah, I just, like, I saw a lot of, well, Campbell was upset that the Rhodes guy got 5 touchdowns the week before and didn't play him. That's insane.
Yeah, I don't think that's what the case is.
That is insane. There is absolutely no chance that that's the case. Like, there's no way that Matt Campbell would be like, oh, you did too good last week. You did too well. We're pulling you. That's insane.
Well, if we think realistically, I don't think – if that was what it was, I don't think they would have ever even let him get into that situation. They would have never kept putting him back in the game against Texas Tech where it's like, go out there and run for 5 touchdowns.
Exactly.
No, they're probably not going to do that.
You're exactly right. So, like, to me, like, that's very paranoid of a – like, I don't buy that. So, listen.
That's Elvis is still alive conspiracy level.
You know what, though, Jared? I got a lot of it. I got a lot of it. And I get it. Like, I completely understood. I did. You go back through my feed. I was baffled because I didn't get it either, but I haven't gone back and watched the tape either.
Yeah.
And from what you said, Park said, I mean, that does.
That's like if somebody says that Jamal Tinsley threw the Hampton game.
Yeah. I mean, come on. What'd you have to bring up Hampton for? We, Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show here on 1460 KXNO, of course, we're brought to you by Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Also, Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Next year, the quarterback situation, it'll look like this. Park one, Lanning your hybrid type mm-hmm. two, who I hope that they continue to develop that because I think it could be really interesting.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a little better offensive line. And then Zeb Nolan. Zeb Nolan comes in off of the redshirt year because he blew out his ACL.
Yeah.
And then Moore,
Devin Moore, yeah.
Devin Moore.
You'll have Kyle Kemp back, too.
Kyle Kemp will be back. He may be the third string.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I would imagine that he would be the, like, emergency third string in a situation where they would have to pull Devin Moore's red shirt. I would think they would rather redshirt him than play him if somebody got hurt.
Yeah,
you know?
Moore's not playing.
No. So I would think that, yeah, Kemp would definitely be the third quarterback.
But you're over Nolan?
Well, I guess it just depends on what – if Joel's going to be this hybrid guy, how does that role play out? Jacob Park got hurt, would he be the starting quarterback then?
I think so.
See, then why not just keep him at quarterback?
Well, he still is a quarterback, but he's doing all these other things too.
Yeah. But then what if he gets hurt?
Like, I mean, back when Brett Maier was quarterbacking, Austin Flynn was a receiver, but I still think he may have been their backup quarterback too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like if you want him to be a weapon, then I don't know. I would think you want to keep him in that role. It's just like you're going to keep flipping roles on him.
Maybe, but quarterback's the most important position on the field.
Yeah. And I know they like Zeb, though. They always are talking him up.
They do. He's still really young.
It's going to be interesting to see how he comes back off the ACL.
Correct. I just don't think Zeb Nolan's a slam dunk for next year because of the injuries in his youth. I still think Joel's your best option as the backup quarterback.
Yeah. I'm not saying that he's not. I'm trying to play the devil's advocate.
No, I get what you're doing here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I still think, I mean, it's the most important position on the field. You got to have your best guy.
Definitely.
Taking the snaps. I don't know. Just spitballing.
That's obviously all hypothetical if Jacob Park got hurt or something.
Well, to me, you're better off with Lanning than you are a fifth-year senior than you are a redshirt freshman, regardless of the situation coming off of an ACL tear.
Yeah.
We'll see. What about the running back situation?
Oh, man.
It's David Montgomery and Nwangu. And I mean, how does Mike Warren respond?
Yeah.
What happens with Mike Warren next year?
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not convinced.
That he's coming back?
Yeah.
You still think he might go?
Yeah. I mean, I know that this is just what I say. When you ask a kid if he's going to transfer when there's still two games left in the season, what do you expect him to say?
Correct.
Like, if he says yes, he's probably not going to play anymore.
No, I agree with you.
And if he says no but then leaves, you know, then he's going to be the bad guy. Like, either way, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
The only thing with Mike Warren is he if he would leave, it would be the FCS way.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Mike Warren's better off staying.
I think he is too, but I mean, who knows, you know, except for him.
Yeah.
And his mom.
I'm taking Mike's word for it. I'm going to assume that Mike Warren's back next year.
You are less cynical than me then.
I am. I'm just a very positive man by nature. No, I don't know. You get to this point with these guys where you just start overthinking everything. He put out a nice tweet to like Mitch Harger the other day.
Yeah.
Cyclone for life, all this stuff. And like, he doesn't act like a guy who's leaving.
Definitely.
That's how I view it. I think David Montgomery for me was the most pleasant surprise of the season.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, I don't know. Him or Deshaunte Jones?
I would say David Montgomery. Because even in fall camp, they talked about him a lot. But Deshaunte, I mean, they talked him up every day. You know, it's like Deshaunte's making all these good plays and stuff like that. And then you heard about David. They're like, this guy's a really good running back. But it wasn't like this guy could be, you know, the second leading rusher on the team. Good running back. Everybody's like, Mike's still going to get all the carries, but then by the end of the season, I mean, it was David that owned that job pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, fine points. Fine points.
Honestly, with Kenny, I'm not even sure how much is he even going to really play traditional running back, you think, next year? Especially if Warren comes back. He's another guy that could just play a bunch of different positions.
He's like your Percy Harvin.
Yeah. You can put him out in the slot. You can run him on some jet sweeps, some stuff like that. Just try to do a bunch of different things to try and get him in space.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
He's a stud. They recruited very well at the running back position last year. The key is keeping all these guys.
Right.
Like, I mean, a lot of problems we've seen. The main reason why I think the team was even 3-9 this year is attrition last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my God. When Rhodes went up there, when he got fired and said this is a bowl team next year, I think Paul truly meant that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Paul was bull crapping everybody just to put the next coach in a bad spot.
But you also had a lot of – I mean, there's some offensive linemen that were still on the team at that point.
That's what I'm saying. If you give if you give Campbell
– Daniel Burton.
Daniel Burton and Campos.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe throw a Jake Dunning into the mix or whoever.
That would have been a solid group. I mean, if you still get Bobek and you still get some of those guys, like, that would still be a pretty solid group regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, by the end of the season, they weren't awful.
No, they were just bad.
Yeah.
They weren't horrible.
Tom Manning
did a phenomenal job.
It was funny in Tom Manning's last availability that he did of the season, they were asking him about the offensive line, and he was like, yeah, nobody can write that they're bad anymore.
Was he getting upset?
No, I think he was just making a joke, but it was funny.
I like Tom Manning.
Yeah.
I think Tom Manning did one of the finer coaching jobs I've seen at Iowa State in a long time.
Well,
fine assistant.
His nomination for the Broyles Award was
very
deserved.
I was so happy to see that.
Yeah. Well, and then they had one of the best offenses they've had in the Big 12.
Big time. Yeah, no, and then, I mean, I haven't crunched the numbers yet comparing offense to the last few years, but it has to be a lot better.
Well, I had that. It said in the game notes after the West Virginia game that the points per game and the yards per game is the highest that they've ever had since they've been in the Big 12.
Wow. Big time.
Yeah.
Wide receiver, Lazard's coming back, right?
I would assume so. He tweeted something last night about flipping a coin. Have you heard him keep talking about that? He's going to flip a coin.
Is he just screwing with
it? I think he's just messing with – because he was messing with Tommy one day with it, and then he was messing with Rob with it another day.
I think that Allen is like – he's playing chess, and we're all playing checkers. And
yeah.
I think he's like knowingly screwing with the register.
I think he's just like, you guys are yeah. you guys are idiots. Like, yes, I'm coming back.
Like, how many freaking times do I have to
– Yeah.
I do think that that's what's going on as well.
I think that he can improve his stock a lot if he comes back one more year.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know you know what stood out to me? And Allen's so talented. I love Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Great kid. He was so fun to cover in high school, too, because, you know, I'd go and scout a lot of his games. And
yeah.
He'd always talk about the Cyclones. Great kid. But when he got caught, again, in that West Virginia game on the bomb, you know?
Yeah.
And the defensive back just ran him down. That's why he's not a pro.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, he Montgomery's had so much open space, too. Like
that's just, why he's not
yeah.
a pro.
Yeah.
Right yet. Yeah. Now, I don't know if his speed's going to drastically get better, but the difference in a tenth of a second or two in your 40 is huge.
Well, and that's the difference between being a first-round pick, second-round pick, when you would want to leave early,
yeah.
to being a third-round pick, which he'll probably be a third or fourth, fifth-round pick regardless of whether or not left early.
Yeah,
you know?
And then he could bulk up, too, and I still think that – I mean, Sage Rosenfels and I talked about this at length one day on KXNO here on our Cyhawk reaction show. I still think that 10 years down the road, he could be playing NFL tight end.
Yeah, definitely.
And like just and the more – I say that more, Jared, the way the league's going than
yeah.
I do. Like if he'd throw him in there right now, he probably wouldn't do very well.
He could be a Gronk type guy.
Yeah, like but he would have to evolve and the league would have to continue to get more passing.
Yeah.
And I still think that I still think that we're going to see more and more of that in the mm-hmm. future in the NFL. There might be a spot for him there.
I agree with that. Yeah.
We'll see. Okay, so you've got Lazard coming back at receiver. DeShante Jones coming back. What was Dondre Daley? Is he gone?
Yeah, he
okay,
is.
Okay, so he's gone. What else we got?
You got Trevor Ryan.
Trevor Ryan's back, okay.
Hakeem Butler.
Oh, so that's my guy.
Carson Epps. Jalen Martin is a true freshman right now, redshirting. That's supposedly a stud.
Everybody loves him. Hakeem Butler's my guy.
Yeah.
That's my dude.
He's going to be really good.
He's a stud. He's completely gotten forgotten about, too.
He might have the highest ceiling out of everybody in the group.
He could
like,
be your
– in the NFL, like yeah. being a superstar in the NFL.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you.
He would have been so good at basketball,
what's
too.
What's he run? What's his 40? What do you think his 40 is? Is he faster than Lazard?
I don't know. No, probably not.
You don't think he's fat?
He seems more like a long strides, like, I don't even know how to describe it. More than it is, like, just pure speed. Like, he's just so big that that's why he's really fast, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He just can flat out overpower somebody.
Yeah. I think that that Hakeem Butler showed some great strides this year. I'm excited about him.
That family is going to have a lot of professional athletes in it.
They are.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. And then, DeShante Jones. So, Whitford, I got to give Jack Whitford, my Cyclone Reaction co-host, credit. He, it was like after the, I want to say the San Jose State game.
Mm-hmm.
He comes on the air and goes, hey, I'm going to make a bold prediction. You want a bold prediction? I go, yeah, well, I've always wanted bold predictions. And he said that DeShante Jones would end up with more career touchdowns at Iowa State than Allen Lazard.
I believe it. I mean, what did he had what, like six this
yeah,
year?
Yeah, but my point is Whitford nailed that down like early in the year.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, Allen only had one or two his freshman year, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't help that they only scored like 20 touchdowns
yeah, well, that's
last the 2 years.
He's been on a bunch of bad offenses.
Yeah.
And then
just think where they could be in 2 years. I mean, Allen will be gone. Trevor will be gone. But those guys could be loaded at receiver.
Well, and then, I mean...
With Park as a senior?
You know, really the key here, Jared, is just getting an offensive line.
Yeah.
Everything else I feel like is going to fall into place, but I'm not convinced they're going to have a line.
Well, and with receiver, we haven't even mentioned Chase Allen.
That's where I wanted to go next.
Yeah. He's not a receiver, yeah, but I mean.
Tight end gets a lot better next year.
Yeah, definitely.
You actually will have a tight end.
Yeah. I think that Charlie Kolar kid that they have committed from Norman North, I think he'll be pretty
good,
too.
Who's that? Tell me about him.
He's a lot like Chase Allen. Like 6'6", can run, physical, but he's not like overly highly recruited. But I think he kind of shut it down after he committed to Iowa State. So he's like Chase was when he got out of his senior season and then got the offer from Florida State, got an offer from Michigan. I think he'll be one of those guys.
Interesting.
I don't know if he'll be quite, he won't be quite that hyped, but he'll be, I think he'll be good once he gets here.
Interesting. All right. I didn't know that he was hyped up.
Yeah.
So that's good to know. My dad will be so happy. He gets so mad when the tight end is not involved.
Your dad was probably the biggest fan of Justin Chandler.
I don't think he thinks any of these guys were any good, but he's excited to have tight ends coming back. Something about old men loving tight ends.
Yeah, well, that's just I feel like that's an old man position. You know,
throw it across the middle.
Right. Right.
The tight end the ball.
But they want to get everybody involved. Especially, yeah, your dad, he just wants to make sure everybody gets involved. Everybody, you know, everybody gets to have some fun today.
Yeah, it's like that sign. Did you see that sign before game day, before the Michigan and Ohio State game?
No.
You know, it's this heated rivalry. These two teams hate each other, Harbaugh, Meyer. This kid was holding up a sign that says, "I just hope both teams have fun." That was so funny. All right, there you go. That's a fairly comprehensive look at the offense.
At least the skill positions.
Yeah, the skill positions. The line. Here, let's go a minute on the line.
All right.
I mean, because this is sticky. I can't sit here and name a starting five for you guys next year.
Okay, here's what I would say. Sean Foster at left tackle.
Okay, just comes right in as a redshirt freshman and starts.
Jake Campos at right tackle.
Well, that's nice. I forgot about Jake. Everybody forgets about Jake. Okay.
Julian Good-Jones. Back to center.
That's a good move. Positive.
And then I would think...
Well, I don't know. That'll be a step down from Bobek.
Yeah, probably. But he'll just be a sophomore.
Correct.
Bryce Meeker. He'll probably slide in there somewhere.
Okay.
Then you also have to remember the wild card is whether or not Pat Scoggins gets a medical redshirt.
He should.
Yeah, I would think he should too.
And as far as depth goes, then you're looking at this development with some of the young guys.
Well, and I think that... I think they'll be a player again in the graduate transfer ranks.
Do you think that they'll get some JUCOs?
And I would think that a JUCO would be a possibility, yeah. I do.
What about like the rest of the recruiting trail between now and February? How many offensive linemen do they want?
It'll be interesting to see. You know, they already have four. So I think I would be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the 6-7 range. You know,
Especially
if you can get Caleb Chandler back in the fold, guy that was formerly committed. Yep. You can get Thayer Munford, a guy who was just here on a visit from Ohio. He's a big four-star guy.
What are the chances of getting Caleb Chandler?
I would say they're still pretty good. I mean, I don't know if Iowa State's the leader. He's got some pretty big schools after him. But I would say they're still definitely in play.
Man, that'd be exciting.
Yeah.
If you get both of those guys.
Yeah.
Then you're talking.
Well, especially if you can get a grad transfer, maybe they can come in and play right away too.
That's for me when the excitement level goes up a notch is when we start talking about better offensive lines.
Well, it would be really good if you could get them and then get a JUCO, get a, like I said, a grad transfer guy that would make it so they wouldn't have to come play right away.
Yeah.
And they'd be able to sit out a year.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's good stuff. We'll tackle the defense next, and then we'll kind of look ahead to the Big 12 too. Some big games coming up. I mean, I think Iowa State's got a shot to take a significant step up as far as the tiers go in the Big 12 Conference. Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, as always here on 1460 KXNO. Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Of course, we are presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, normally live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Clones, Cincinnati tonight, big game at Hilton Coliseum. So we recorded a football season review / very early look ahead to next season, where I feel like there's a lot of confidence despite a 3-9 record. Saw a lot of guys stepping up, young guys stepping up and making plays. That was on offense, Jared. Defensively, as Jared Stansberry joins me tonight, I'm less certain about the immediate future of Iowa State football. I think it's going to be relying on more newcomers and whatnot. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, especially up front.
Yeah.
These two JUCO defensive tackles, you pretty much pencil them in, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think both those guys could be impact players right away.
What's their names?
When they get
Lima
here.
And?
Ray Lima and Camilo Tongamoya.
Tongamoya.
Or Tongamoa.
Tongamoa, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever, we get it.
Yeah.
I heard Lima's a stud.
Yeah, Lima's going to be really good. And I'm pretty sure he gets here in January, and then Camilla will sign in February. So it's good for Ray. It's just keeping him locked in here for a couple of weeks, and a half.
It's kind of the deal like with Cam White, too, it sounds like.
Yeah, except he can't sign until February, I don't think.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
He can only sign until February, but
right.
It'll probably be a fight.
Right. They're going to have a couple people that come in here in January that I think are going to be pretty.
Who else?
Well, Josh Johnson, the wide receiver.
Yep.
He'll be interesting to see what kind of happens with him. I think Matt Eaton will be here in January
That's
as well. He'll be
receiver.
Another guy that'll be interesting to see how he fits in. We didn't even mention like Marchi Murdoch as well, wide receiver. He'll be another guy that probably will factor
in there.
Why
didn't he play more?
He played a little bit.
Yeah, he got in toward the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, you want to know why? It's because think of all those other names we already listed.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right. All right. Let's break down this defense position by position. As far as the defensive line goes, you lose quite a bit. However, that group wasn't fantastic this year.
Yeah. I mean, you bring back, of the people that are on the depth chart right now, you bring back Spencer Benton, Jamal Johnson, Vernell Trent, and Jaquan Bailey.
Okay, Jaquan Bailey's a bright spot.
Yeah, for sure. Spencer Benton made some nice plays as well in some of the situations he got. He's only a sophomore.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that he was an impact player.
Still not sold on Spencer Benton's future, but
no.
I hope that...
Maybe, but he could be solid by the time he's a senior.
Well, Johnson's a guy who, if you see the field as a true freshman at that position, you must be pretty good.
Right.
It's hard to see the field at that position.
Well, and then you remember Josh Bailey is there. He's in the fold as well.
Yeah.
Jaquan's brother. Yeah, he's a defensive tackle. So
I'm less excited about him just because he's never played yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually need about a year at D-tackle, but no, it's good. Good for depth. What in the hell is up with Seth Nernis? Where's he at? We have yet to see him on a depth chart.
Dude, I like to give I like to make fun of Adam because before the season he was like, he was all in on the Seth Nernis train, and then I don't think he played a snap.
No, I don't think he did. I was told before the season he probably wouldn't, too.
Yeah.
I hope that he's a kid where you just look at him and you go, look, he can play some ball. So I'm hopefully whatever.
It makes you wonder if, I don't know, maybe it's a between the ears thing or.
I don't know. Well, whatever. I hope it clicks for him.
Definitely.
Okay, linebacker, what's coming back?
Well, you bring
pretty
back
much.
Willie and you bring back Regan Northrup. Willie Harvey, Regan Northrup, and Brian Mills.
So the linebackers should be better next
year. Well, that's what a lot everybody's harping about, how you got to get – they need to go get all these linebackers. And it's like, well, I mean, they bring back like three of their top four linebackers.
They need help up front.
Yeah,
they need the help
up front on both sides of the ball. That should be the number one priority. Yeah.
Because that secondary will be fine.
If you can get another running back or another linebacker, say a guy like Shannon Reed from Florida, who's a – three-star, four-star linebacker. If you can, they're up in his top leaders. If they can get somebody like that, obviously you want to get another linebacker, but you're bringing in Jake Hummel, you're bringing in Orion Vance, you're bringing in a couple guys that can play that position, and then you bring back some guys that, you know, Willie Harvey, they've talked up for, ever since Matt Campbell got here, he's talked about how good he thinks he can be.
Oh, and what about Sutton?
Yeah, and Tymar Sutton as well, yeah.
He would have played this year had he not broken his hand in camp.
Yeah, so they'll have four really solid linebackers that are already coming back. I think Brian Mills got a lot better this year.
I do too.
And he's going to be a senior, so maybe that'll be the year that he finally stands out.
All right. So I'm fairly comfortable at linebacker. Not crazy about it, but I'm way more comfortable there than I am up front.
And then at that star position, you'll have DeAndre Payne and Everett Edwards back.
Studs.
And then Bobby McMillan should be back from –
We gotta
at the Sam linebacker.
They gotta find a way to get DeAndre Payne on the field as much as possible.
He was on there a lot.
Yeah, I know.
Most of the season, end of the season. They got up against the Big 12 teams that spread it all out, then he was out there a lot.
He's just a guy. Every time he's around the ball, he's doing something awesome.
Right. Everett Edwards is kind of the same way.
Yeah.
You don't see him make that many mistakes.
Yeah, Everett was okay. He wasn't bad, the Duke transfer.
Yeah. Okay. Kamari Cotton-Moya is obviously awesome.
Yep, he's good. Brian Peavy.
Yep.
Brian Peavy coming back at corner. You won't really miss Nigel Tribune that much, unfortunately.
Or Jamal Wiltz. He was okay. He was serviceable.
I think Jamal Wiltz kind of came on, actually.
He was a good...
I'm a big Jamal Wiltz guy.
He was really good against the run. Okay, and really good when he could play downhill, but I don't know what his coverage skills were like.
What are the corner situation next year? So you've got...
That one's going to be a little bit more spotty.
Okay, so you've got PV locking down the one side.
Yeah, you got PV locking down the one side. You have Arnold Azuna, who's a true freshman right now.
They like him.
He was on the depth chart initially, but then when Nigel came back, he got bumped off.
That's scary.
But...
Corner?
That's...
Or a JUCO? Do we got any JUCOs?
Nope. No JUCOs. But that's one of the things that they're working really hard on the trail right now. You obviously have Richard Bowens, who's from Michigan. He's a cornerback, but I mean, he'll be a true freshman. Cam White will be in the secondary.
What position will Cam White be?
I think that he'll start as a safety, but I wouldn't be surprised if he moves to linebacker eventually.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if he actually plays as a true freshman.
He could be like that star, Sam linebacker type guy.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that that's what Ole Miss wants him to play is linebacker.
Well, if he comes to Iowa State, my prediction is he will be on the field.
Yeah, I believe it.
Just based off of what we saw with those coaches this year.
I think that – well, and then you have Mike Johnson back at safety as well.
Could Mike Johnson
– And Braxton Lewis. I think they liked him as well.
Mike Johnson can't play corner now.
No.
He can't do it.
I do think that Cam will play that star position. I think that he would be successful there.
So you've got to find another corner.
Yeah. Compared him to, like, Jabril Peppers. Not obviously, maybe not quite that good, but like
compared Cam White to Jabril Peppers.
Yeah, because he could be a guy that starts his career as a safety, moves down to a linebacker, and then by the end of it, he just plays everywhere.
Yeah, no, I could see that.
And he's a really good offensive player. I'm not saying they're going to use him on offense, but I know at the high school level, he was really good as a receiver.
Now they got to keep him.
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest thing is just keeping him in the fold.
Okay, that's the
Coach Haycock saw him earlier this week, so.
Did he?
Yeah.
Everything went well?
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm anxious. I think that the next however many weeks is going to be fascinating on the recruiting trail.
Yeah.
For Iowa State.
It's going to be different from last year because they were playing catch-up, you know?
Correct.
And it was like every single day there's like five new guys that they're going after. Yeah. There will definitely be – it'll be fun. It'll be busy.
And there's going to be a lot of surprises too, I bet.
I think so too.
I mean, do you remember last year the whole sound the siren thing that was going off all the time? But I don't think that you'll see that, but I think that
– Well, they only have like five or six spots left in the class, really.
God, do you remember signing day last year, though, all the surprises?
Yeah.
Wasn't David Montgomery a signing day surprise?
Yeah, I think so. I think DeShante was too. And then both Baileys.
Both Baileys.
They knew they were going to get Josh Bailey, but they didn't know they were going to get Jaquan.
Yeah.
And then Chase was right at the very end. Like they'd already even had the press conference and everything.
Yep.
He announced his right at the end of the day.
Yeah, he was a few days before.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember watching his like signing thing, and you'd gotten his number for me. And you got me the wrong number, and I called somebody, and it was like...
Hey, that happens in recruiting.
And they're like, it was like, is this Chase? He's like, no. It's like,
that happens.
This is awkward then.
That happens with recruiting coverage. You're best to just talk to them on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right. We'll come back. We'll look at some Big 12 football.
Sounds good.
How about that? We'll talk Big 12 football when we come back. There's like a pseudo championship game going on with Bedlam this week. And we'll hit on that and lots more. Cyclone Fanatic Radio here on 1460 KXNO. Welcome back to segment number 3 of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show here on 1460 KXNO. Of course, we are presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive. Timmy Mullen, thanks for your support all season long. Guys, do us a favor and get out there and support our sponsors at Cyclone Fanatic. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive being one of them. They do a great job, and we love talking with Tim Mullen every week here on 1460 KXNO. Of course, We've got the big Iowa State-Cincinnati game coming up tonight, 8 o'clock, 100.3 The Bus. You can flip it on over, John Walters and Eric Heft. We're off at 7, and that's exactly when they go on. So I would encourage you to listen to those boys.
How was your experience in Florida?
Great.
You did well. I listened to...
Did you listen?
Yeah, I listened to all the games.
Thanks. No, I think we did all right. You know what's really...
You were better than Dick Vitale, if that makes you feel any better.
Here's the deal. I learned I'd never done color for a game that is fast of pace as Gonzaga and Iowa State was.
Yeah.
That was hard.
You and Bloom were having fun. I listened to the very beginning when it was like they scored like 25 points before the first media break.
Yeah.
You guys both just sounded like you were out of breath.
Well, it's hard as a color guy to get your analysis in when they're going that fast.
Definitely.
I'd never done it before, and I'd like to do it again. Because I feel like I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been a color guy before, but it's always been for the women.
I was going to say, they don't go that fast in the women.
Yeah, and I mean, being a color guy in a women's broadcast, I mean, it's like sports talk radio.
Yeah.
You have all time. Like, you have all sorts of time. And in the men's game, it's just, man, the first game wasn't a lot of fun because we were so nervous the whole time.
Yeah.
The Miami game was a blast to call because the boys played so well.
Right.
Hopefully they do that tonight. You got a prediction for tonight's game?
I think they're going to win. I'll be pretty surprised.
Have you done your Cincinnati research?
A little bit of it. They're pretty good. They got that Kyle Washington's pretty good. He was a good recruit out of high school, but I don't know. I don't think that they're going to be any better than they were last year. I think Gary Clark's out too. I thought I heard that earlier this week.
Okay.
So
there you go. Let's just run through a couple games this upcoming weekend, specifically this Oklahoma State Oklahoma game. I want to look more macro level at the Big 12, though, and next year. First of all, this game, 11:30 kick on Fox coming up on Saturday. I don't know. I mean, Oklahoma State's an 11-point underdog. I wouldn't be surprised if they'd win.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. I mean, I wasn't that impressed by Oklahoma when they came here.
I wasn't either.
Yeah. I actually thought that was one of the worst Oklahoma teams that I've seen.
And Oklahoma State's a hell of a lot different than they were when Iowa State played them.
Yeah. That's going to be a good game. It's going to be a fun one. If Oklahoma State wins, are people throwing their name out there for the playoff?
They should be because they got screwed in that Central Michigan game, but they won't because they technically have two losses.
See, this is why we just need robots to be the officials.
Hey, I could get behind that.
The thing about putting a chip into the ball, that's intriguing. That intrigues me.
Explain this to me.
First downs, like there's put a thing into the ball so that then when you pass the first down, like it knows. It can't be like a
any worries about malfunctions.
See, that's probably the only thing, but I don't know. I'm not up to date on what the technology is.
Look, we're using our phones and our computers all the time, and how often do they malfunction? Not very often. Yeah, you knock it on wood. You can't just live life waiting for things to fail.
Right.
Like, I can't not get on a plane because I'm worried it's going to crash.
See, but that's the thing. It's like everything, that's just life. You got to keep moving forward, you know? And you can't just dwell on whether or not it's going to go wrong.
What do you think Bloom would do if he heard this conversation?
Exactly. It's the people that are the hardcores are the ones that they don't want the refs to go away.
You'll like
the
this.
Football old timers.
So we had this big Cyclone Fanatic game watch in Orlando, right?
Yeah.
For the West Virginia game on Saturday. And we're like leading up to it as the Michigan Ohio State game. It's on all the TVs. And by the way, if you're in Kissimmee, Florida and you work at the Wild Wings, thank you. You guys are great. It was awesome. We had like our whole room to ourselves. It was so much fun.
I'm sure they're all Cyclone Fanatics now.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were – the rest of the people in that place were just weirded out by how loud we were being, but whatever. It's good for them. It's what real fans are. But anyways.
All the people that wanted to go to Disney World.
I'm sitting in between Bloom and his dad.
Ooh. It wasn't a good day for the boys in stripes on Saturday.
And I – you know, I'm a Harbaugh guy.
Yeah.
Right? I'm cheering for the maize and blue. I was so pissed – at that spot, and like I don't even know if it turned out like there's supposedly an angle that's very cut and like whatever. I don't even care. The point is, at the time, I was spitting mad, and I just started MFing refs, and like it was, It was bad. I'm putting out all these tweets like and Michigan then, got jobbed, and like Bloom's dad's just like rolling his eyes at me.
And then the Iowa State game started, and Joel Lanning got a touchdown taken away by a chop block. And,
which was a terrible call.
Yeah.
A horrible call.
Yeah.
And Bloom's dad even admitted that.
Yeah. Like, that was bad.
Bloom's dad, like, actually during the replay is the one who told me, like, yeah, that's the wrong call.
Yeah.
That was a terrible call.
Well, Ben Bruns went on the Cyclone Radio Network. It was very shortly after. He was like, that was an awful call. He's like, by no definition is that chop block.
Well, I mean, what happened? Did you see the replay?
Yeah, it was guy fell down and then
the guy tripped over
him. Yeah, yeah.
It's not a chop block.
Yeah.
Anyways, now I'm getting all blood pressure. Right. I was over that and now I'm fired back up.
But all because we talked about the Kiss Me Florida Buffalo Wild Wings.
You should have heard how loud that place got when Kenne Nwangu
took the
house that kickoff.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like if you're just like a random Floridian sitting at the bar.
They're like, I just wanted to go to Disney World. There's these crazy people here from Iowa.
And that poor waitress of ours back there, she had no idea what she was getting into. I hope everybody tipped her well. But anyways, if you're listening and you came to the game watch, we had a good time. Well, okay, here's my point. I think that the big – so Baylor's going to suck next year.
Yeah.
Baylor's going to suck.
Who's going to be their new coach? Who do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. But so TCU's kind of coming back to earth.
Yeah.
Texas Tech, I mean, we've seen Iowa State can beat them.
Yeah. I think it's an absolute – what the heck are they doing keeping David Gibbs? How can you justify that?
Iowa State can – there is an opening here because I think Iowa State can always compete with Kansas State.
Yeah.
As long as you're competing with somebody, you can jump up and beat them. Iowa State's clearly going to be behind Oklahoma. Texas is winning 10 games next year, and they're going to be in the national title hunt in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Write that in ink.
Okay. Especially if Paul Rhodes goes to be their defensive coordinator.
I don't think that will happen, but that'd be a great hire if Tom could get it done. I don't think it'll happen though. On the record.
Okay.
So you're behind Texas and Oklahoma. You're always gonna be behind Oklahoma State as long as Gundy's there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably gonna be behind West Virginia too. I truly believe that. But after that and probably TCU. There's no reason Iowa State can't sneak up into the 6-7 consistent conversation.
Yeah.
And then when you're competing more, and then you can jump up and beat the other teams every once in a while.
What would you think if Mike Leach went to Baylor?
Would
they still be on a bad trajectory?
No. That'd be a great hire.
Yeah.
Be a great hire. I don't think he'd do it though.
I
don't think Mike Leach would fit in well with like a Baptist type of
school. I want that to happen because I would love how many Craig James jokes there would be that day.
Oh, it'd be great. Craig James is the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, horrible. I mean,
ruined Texas Tech football. I hope everybody in Texas hates Craig James.
If I were Oregon, I would consider Leach.
Yeah. That would be hard to pull him away from Wazoo to go to Oregon, though.
Oh, no. Why would that be hard? That'd be a great move for him.
I don't know.
Go from Pullman to
Well,
Eugene.
I know it would be a great move, but I'm just saying that's like, I don't know. What are the chances he does that?
It's a much
jumps better from
job.
One team in the same division to another.
I don't think it had happened, but anybody hiring Leach at this point is a great hire, especially if you're in the state of Texas.
It's going to be interesting to see what Oregon does. I think PJ Fleck's got to be a player out there.
I would think so, too. I think that'd be a good hire.
Yeah.
If
they're
going
to sneak their way into a group of six or into one of the group of six bowls.
They should.
Yeah.
I mean, I think fans want to see that.
Yeah.
A 12-0 MAC. Even if they get killed, at least we know.
I don't think they've ever gotten to a MAC team and like into one of those bowls, have they?
Yeah.
Oh wait, Northern Illinois.
Northern Illinois.
Did. Yeah.
And they didn't perform that well, I don't think. That was the Jordan Lynch year.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the same year they beat Iowa.
Didn't they play like Florida State or something like that in the championship or in the Orange Bowl?
Yeah. I hope Fleck gets in.
Yeah. He'll get somewhere. He'll be somewhere.
Yeah. Anyways, I just think there's an I say it every year, and I'm stupid, and I'm not going to say it leading up to next year. At some point, the Snyder train has to slow down.
Yeah.
At K-State. But again, even like when Iowa State's
when's
down.
When's he going to retire?
Yeah, maybe he won't. Maybe he'll literally coach there until he dies.
Well, he's never going to do that, so.
Exactly. He is a vampire.
Man.
I don't know, man. I just think that Iowa State's got a real opportunity, but they've got to get better up front on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so easy to look at all these. They do have good skill position players. It's as good of skill position players as Iowa State's had in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
But their lines have to get better. That's the theme.
They're going to have the skill position players to compete with anybody. I mean, even the, you know, Oklahoma States, and Texas.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Allen's going to be the – he'll probably be the best receiver in the Big 12 going into next season.
What about
season.
Montgomery? Is he gone? D.D. Montgomery?
Westbrook, you mean?
Oh, Westbrook. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think so.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, I believe he is.
Why did I think his last name was Montgomery?
I have no idea.
Maybe I was
Oklahoma, thinking of, Westbrook. Come on. Yeah, Oklahoma.
Maybe I was thinking of DeVario Montgomery, who will be playing for Toledo next year. That's
will he?
A small world.
I thought he was a grad transfer.
Was he?
I thought so.
Oh, I thought he transferred and had to sit out.
No, he played in at least one game. Well, I know then, he did. I looked it up. The last time I looked it up, he'd only played in one game. So.
Then I was wrong. If he played, then he was a grad transfer.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
I mean, he only played in one game, so not too good.
That tells us a little bit about DeVario Montgomery, apparently.
Yeah.
If he's only playing one game at Toledo.
Yeah.
And he was Iowa State's, what, second best receiver?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've heard different things about that situation, so I don't think that there was – people shouldn't be too disappointed that he's not here anymore.
All right, let's do quick, in 2 minutes, some predictions.
All right.
Washington, Colorado, Washington 7.5-point favorite. I'll take Colorado to cover.
I was going to say, I'm riding with Colorado. They're like 11-1 against the spread this year.
Yes, there you go. That's my boy. Bama's a 24-point favorite over Florida.
I don't pick against Alabama.
I'll take the points.
That's a bad move.
Probably.
You don't pick against Alabama.
Wisconsin, Penn State. 2.5 points going to Wisconsin at this point.
Give me the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, I'll take the points. And then you've got Virginia Tech, that is, and Clemson. 10 points.
I think Virginia Tech covers that one, but Clemson's going to win. I think they're going to give them a scare.
I would agree with that. We're pretty much on point. And then any chance of a MAC upset?
Ohio?
Yeah.
Is Frank Solich still the coach at Ohio?
I don't think so.
No, I'm pretty sure he is.
Is he really?
I think so. He's got to be a legend there now.
Dude, they were fun to watch there for a while because all these Iowa State guys kept transferring there.
Yeah.
Phillip Bates, who is Niles Paul's cousin, he was their quarterback.
Niles Paul's cut himself out a nice little career in the NFL now.
Yeah, he has. So that was a big story back when I was covering recruiting, Jared, those two.
That dude couldn't catch anything when he was in college.
Correct. He was part of that big 8 turnover game that Iowa State won.
Oh, believe me, I remember.
And then, you had then.
Frank Solich still the coach there.
Jeez. And then Bo Blankenship, an old Iowa State running back, had transferred there. And then you had Frank Solich to watch. Like, it was a lot of fun to watch Ohio back on the Maction days.
There you go.
Good stuff. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Enjoy the game tonight if you're headed up to Hilton Coliseum. Hope you enjoyed our football year in review. We're off next week as it's Cy-Hawk basketball, so that'll be a big one in Iowa City. For Jared Stansberry, for Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive and Benchwarmers, I'm Chris Williams. So long, everyone.